Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. So great to have you tune in on this Saturday afternoon as we are coming to you live from Lincoln, Rhode Island. And we have three different things. Actually, we have about three different things that are running right now. Of course, we have the live Facebook streaming, the live streaming that is right now going on Facebook for all of our friends, and those who are watching publicly can watch this program live. We also have the live audio version of Blog Talk Radio that is right now playing at this time, and we also have this being recorded so that it can be uploaded to YouTube. And so what I'm going to be talking about today on the show, and of course, folks, you're going to see me going back and forth between the video camera that you see right now on the phone for Facebook Live, and then, of course, looking at the camera over here on the laptop so that people on YouTube would be able to watch this, of course, not live, but they'll be able to watch the archived version down the road. And so we got three different live feeds that are going on here right now. But what I want to do on today's radio program is I want to talk about the unholy seed. The unholy seed. Now, not seed, S-E-E-D, but C-S-E-E, without the D. And the reason why I'm calling this program the Unholy Seed is because of a recent meeting between the Vatican and Pope Francis and Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas that just recently took place in Rome. And the Vatican recognizes a Palestinian state, and the Palestinian government now has an embassy there in Rome. And folks, I believe this flies in the face of the Holy Scriptures, and the so-called Holy See is in actuality an unholy seed. Because Satan is using false religion to accomplish his will and attempt to destroy Israel. So not only is he using false religion, but he is also using human secular government to also fulfill his will. So what I'm going to do on today's program is show from the Word of God that God will not allow false religion or human government to overthrow God's plans for the future. God will not allow both these entities to take away what rightfully belongs to the Jewish people. And folks, that is the holy city of Jerusalem. So we're going to be talking about that for the next 45 minutes of this broadcast. So I want to thank all of you for taking time out of your schedule to be with us Saturday. We were supposed to be on at 2:30 p.m. I had to bump it up a little bit to 3:30. So I appreciate all of you for understanding that. And, of course, you know, it's pandemonium out here in New England because at 8:15 tonight, the New England Patriots are facing the Houston Texans, in the divisional round of the playoffs. And so it's like absolute pandemonium going on around here right now. So, but we're not focused on that. We want to focus on the message at hand. So for all of you that are watching live, if you have a Bible prophecy question concerning this broadcast, then you have an opportunity to type your question into that live chat box. Make a phone call. Let someone know that they can tune in live because they're going to want to listen or watch what I am going to be talking about today. And I am also going to be preaching this message tomorrow morning, Sunday, January 15, 2017. I'm going to be preaching this message at Calvary Baptist Church in Sanford, Maine. Calvary Baptist Church in Sanford, Maine. That will be for the Sunday school hour, 10 a.m., and, of course, the 11 a.m. service and the 6 p.m. service. I'm going to be preaching all three services. But for the 11 a.m. service, I want to preach this particular message because I believe, folks, in the last days in which we live today, Satan is on the warpath and he is using false religion, and he is using secular human government to try to destroy the apple of God's eye, to try to take away a city that God said, my name will be there forever, and that nobody will take away the place where my name will be there forever, the place that is the capital of my chosen people. So we're going to be looking at the Word of God and seeing where I believe this could all be going in light of biblical prophecy. So for all of you that are watching live on Facebook live stream, if you have a prophecy question, you can type that question in right now. Or through the duration of this message. But you can also call a toll-free number that we have set up on Blog Talk Radio. And that toll-free number is 1-877-659-8944. That's 877-659-8944. That is a toll-free number all across the United States for Blog Talk Radio. Or, as I said already, you can type your question into the live chat box for those of you that are watching live right now. A heads up for those of you that are in Maine, I will be preaching Sunday morning, January 15th, at Calvary Baptist Church. Todd Bell is the pastor, and Todd Bell has invited me to come and preach on January the 15th. That's tomorrow morning. So if you live near Sanford or any of those areas adjacent to where that church is, I would like to invite you to come on out tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 6 p.m. for our Bible Prophecy Sunday at Calvary Baptist Church in Sanford, Maine. But if you watch the archive show later on and not watching live right now, whether it's on YouTube or wherever, you're free to send a prophecy question or a comment for that matter. And so, again, we appreciate all of you taking time to join us on the broadcast. Remember, we have a Bible prophecy tour leaving for Israel, March 25th to April the 5th, 11 days in Israel and one day in Petra in southern Jordan. Again, the dates for that Bible prophecy tour is March 25th to April 5th, 2017. We're looking to bring maybe 15, maybe even possibly 20 people to join us on that tour. So if you would like to join us on the Bible prophecy tour to Israel, March 25th to April 5th, 2015, well, you can make plans to join us. You can send me an email at august.todayinbibleprophecy@gmail.com. And if you're dead serious about going but you have some questions, I'll be more than happy to try to answer those questions. But if you're ready to go, then call my tour agent, Eyal Evan, E-Y-A-L, Eyal Evan, E-V-A-N, Eyal Evan. Call him toll-free 1-888-300-3038, 1-888-300-3038, or you can go to christiantourstoisrael.com, go to where it says group tours, hit that, a window will scroll down, hit group tours on the bottom, and you'll see our tour right there. The price of the tour is $3,650 per person, all-inclusive. That price includes two countries, Israel and Petra in southern Jordan. Both places will play a major, major role in end-time Bible prophecy. So we're giving you the invitation to join us in the Holy Land, the land of the Bible, for our Bible prophecy tour to Israel. It's not too late to sign up. Time is of the essence, and we would love to have you come with us to the land of Israel. So what we're going to do right now is get into the news story of the day. And what I want to do is just give you a biblical feedback of this. And so what I want to do is, if you have your Bibles, I want you to go with me to Revelation 17. Revelation 17. And looking at verses 16 and 17. And you will notice what the Word of God says, how God uses human government to accomplish His will. And so we see in Revelation 17, 16, and 17, "And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore," that would be the false church, "and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill His will and to agree and give their kingdom," that would be a secular kingdom, that would be a secular government, "to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled." Now, folks, this secular kingdom or this secular government goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 10 and verse number 10. And you will notice in Genesis 10:10, this human government was founded by a very ungodly man by the name of Nimrod. The name Nimrod simply means, "Let us revolt." And so, I'll begin in verse number 8. "And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter, before the Lord. What does it mean that he was a mighty hunter? Was he a hunter of elk? Was he a hunter of deer? Was he a hunter of some sort of wild game? I don't think that's what it's talking about here, folks. When it says Nimrod, the mighty hunter, before the Lord, I don't think it was talking about hunting wild game. I believe, folks, he was the hunter of men's souls. And Satan is behind the scenes, pushing the buttons and pulling the strings with this man. It says in verse 10, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel in the land of Shinar. So, folks, the Bible reveals that God uses human government to fulfill his will. Human government that was established by God in Genesis chapter number 9. And when we go to Genesis chapter number 9, we call this in Genesis 9 the Noahic covenant. Involved a dispensation of human government with humanity governing itself. Now, we know that the aspects of the Noahic covenant involved God promising not to destroy the earth again with a global, worldwide flood. And human government keeping the peace. That's the reason why God established human government in Genesis chapter 9. To keep the peace and to punish those who break the law. To punish evil doers. You know, Paul explains this in Romans chapter number 13 when he speaks about honoring human authority. And the Apostle Peter says the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, where he talks about being subject to governing authorities. Folks, as long as those same authorities don't cross that line and say that you can't read the Bible anymore, you can't worship God anymore, you can't have open houses of worship anymore, you can't call immoral lifestyles a sin. You got to draw the line somewhere. Now, of course, we are to honor authority. We are to obey human magistrates. As long as those same governing authorities don't cross the line and tell us, we can't preach against sin anymore. There has to be a line, ladies and gentlemen, that is drawn by the church there. We just simply cannot go with the flow and say, well, if you can't beat them, you might as well join them. And it's unfortunate that you have those in the church that are doing that today. You must draw the line. We have to pray for our leaders, our government leaders, pray for our incoming president, pray for those who are in authority over us. But if it comes to the point where those same governing bodies tell us that we can't preach out of this book anymore, or we can't call sin sin anymore, or immoral lifestyle sin anymore, folks, you got to draw the line. And unfortunately, you have to go against government when the government tells us we can't do these things anymore. But with this same human government in Genesis chapter 9, we also see human nature coming into play right here. Sinful human nature. We also see with human nature corruption that would come from those same governing powers that would overstep its bounds. And when human government oversteps its vows, the church needs to draw a line. So at the same time, when we see corruption in human government, at the same time, we would see corruption coming out of false religion. And that false religion is described not only in Genesis 10:10 with corrupt human government, but we also see in Genesis chapter 11, 4,000 years ago, we see false religion. So human government comes out of Genesis chapters 9 and 10, and then false religion out of Genesis chapter number 11. But we also see in Genesis 16, terrorism being born and being dispensed by Abraham's son, Ishmael. We see in Genesis 16, verses 11 and 12, where it says this, "And the angel of the Lord said unto her," talking about Hagar the Egyptian, Ishmael's mother, "Behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael." Ishmael means, you know, someone who hears, or hears. "Because the Lord hath heard thy affliction, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren." Now listen to me, folks. I don't believe that Ishmael is the father of the entire Arab world. Ishmael was born 262 years after the events of Genesis chapter number 10. He was born, actually, Abraham was born 262 years after the events of Genesis 10, and Ishmael was born 500 years after the events of Genesis chapter 10 and verse number 6. In Genesis 17, 20, it doesn't tell us that Ishmael fathered many nations. It tells us in Genesis 17, 20, that Ishmael would father only one nation. I mean, read it yourself in Genesis chapter 17 and verse number 20, that he would be the father of only one nation. And yet it tells us that he and his brethren dwelt from Havilah, which goeth down to Shur. Now, Havilah and Shur are areas that are located in what was then Arabia, or called today Saudi Arabia. When you read Genesis chapter 10 and verse number 6, it talks about three Arab nations: Cush, Mitzrayim, and Put. Now, those nations were on the scene in Genesis 10, 6, 262 years before Abraham was born, and 500 before Ishmael was born. In Genesis 10, 6, Cush would be modern-day Ethiopia, Sudan, and Somalia. Now, those are Arab nations today, okay? Those are Arab nations. They don't come from Ishmael. They came from Ham, the sons of Ham. Not Ishmael, Ham. But yet today they're Arab nations. Then he talks about Mitzrayim. Well, Mitzrayim is Hebrew for Egypt. Now, Egypt is an Arab nation. The largest Arab nation in the Middle East, with about 80 to 85 million Arabs. But they don't come from Ishmael. They come from Cush. And then Put. Put today would be modern day Libya. They don't come from Ishmael, but they come from three Arab nations in Genesis 10:6, already on the scene, and Ishmael isn't born until Genesis 16, some 500 years later. So Ishmael did not father the Arab world. He would be the father of only one nation, and that would be today Saudi Arabia. That's where he went to dwell, him and his brethren, in Saudi Arabia. So when it says in Genesis 17:20 that he would be a father of one nation, singular, that would be today, Saudi Arabia, where you have the most radical terrorists, say the Wahhabi terrorist movement. And those guys are crazy. So when it says that in verse 12 of Genesis 16 concerning Ishmael, he would be a wild man. His hand will be against every man's hand against his. 15 of the 19 hijackers that attacked us on 9/11, 2001, 15 of the 19 hijackers, folks, from Saudi Arabia. But many of the other terrorist elements today are spin-offs of this wild man. They take a page right out of his book, out of the Wahhabi movement of Saudi Arabia, came all of these other spin-off terrorist groups: Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Al-Aqsa Brigades, Islamic Jihad, Hamas, Hezbollah, Boko Haram. I mean, folks, we can just go on and on and on and on. They take a page out of Ishmael. They're all wild individuals. Their hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against them. But we also see, folks, in Genesis chapter 20 and in verse number 3, that Ishmael is already carrying out his terrorist activities. I mean, in Genesis chapter 20, verse 3, we already see Ishmael mocking, scoffing at the son of promise. He's mocking and he's scoffing at Isaac, the son of promise. It says in Genesis chapter 20, and actually it's Genesis chapter 20, verse number 9, not 3, where it says this: and Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had born unto Abraham, mocking. He's mocking at Isaac. He's scoffing at the son of promise. And actually, Paul the Apostle, in the book of Galatians, even steps it up a notch. Paul is quoting out of Genesis chapter 20 and verse number 9. In the book of Galatians, Paul the Apostle picks up on this mocking by Ishmael against the son of promise, Isaac. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 28 through 31, it says this: now we, brethren, he's talking to the church, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Just as Isaac was the son of promise, we in the church today, as the body of the Messiah, the body of Yeshua, Jesus, we are also the son of promise, because we're no longer under the dispensation of the Mosaic law, under its guidelines and so on and so forth. He goes on to say in verse 29, but as then, he that was born after the flesh, talking about Ishmael, persecuted him, Isaac. Paul uses the word persecution, the phrase persecution. But as then he, Ishmael, that was born after the flesh, persecuted him that was born, talking about Isaac, after the spirit. Notice this, present tense. Even so, it is now. This same persecution, this same terrorism, this same scoffing, this same mocking is going on among the Arab world toward the Jewish people. verse number 30, Paul says this, nevertheless, what saith the scripture? The bondwoman and her son, talking about Hagar the Egyptian and her son Ishmael. For the son of the bondwoman, Ishmael, shall not be heir of the son of the free woman, the son Isaac, the free woman, being Sarah. This is all out of Genesis chapter number 20. This is what Paul is alluding to, folks, out of Genesis chapter number 20. Now, Ishmael represents the law of bondage. Isaac represents grace. He represents the spirit of freedom. Ishmael represents the law of bondage, persecution. Isaac represents grace. Isaac represents promise. And folks, Isaac represents freedom. Yitzhak in Hebrew, which means laughter. Ishmael, which means hear in Hebrew. Yitzhak, Isaac, is laughter because Sarah laughed when she found out that she was going to have a son in her old age. But folks, we see according to Bible prophecy that the governments of the world will not only turn on God, but will also in the last days and even in the end time persecute God's chosen people, the Jewish people. You can see this. Case in point, where you have human government and false religion that will one day work hand in hand. That one day human government will turn on the chosen people of God, the Jewish people. And the same thing with false religion. I'll give you a case in point. The case in point is what outgoing President Barack Obama did to Israel just a few weeks ago at the United Nations, which is nothing more than the United Nothing, and is nothing more than a rat hole and a cesspool of immorality. And I hope and pray that President-elect and soon-to-be President Donald Trump does away with that rat hole and stop funding the United Nations. The UN was created to be nothing more than one who would slap around Israel. That's all they were created for. They use Israel as nothing more than a punching bag. So what Obama did to Israel at the United Nations is when the United States government withdrew its veto power, allowing the United Nations to condemn Israeli building settlements in Judea and Samaria, which is the so-called West Bank. So we already saw what human government did to Israel at the United Nations. So in the last days, we see corrupt political government and corrupt religious institutions, not only in rebellion against God, but in rebellion against God's people. And yet, folks, both these entities will work hand in hand to try to defeat God's plan with Satan in the background pulling the strings. But we also know that in the tribulation period, the Antichrist will have a close association with the false church, as we just read in Revelation 17, verses 16 and 17. It will be an unholy alliance that is born right from the very pits of hell, where you have secular government with false religion working hand in hand against God and against God's chosen people, the Jewish people. And this unholy alliance is right here born out of Revelation 17, verses 16 and 17. This secular human government, as I said, goes all the way back to to Genesis chapter 9, Genesis chapter 10 and verse number 10, and then we see this false religion founded in Genesis chapter number 11. So human government going back to Genesis 9, false religion going back to Genesis chapter number 11. Now, what really gets my goat, ladies and gentlemen, I have a lot of pet peeves, and I really do. But this is one of them right here. Recently, I got this from the Times of Israel, which is a secular Israeli news agency, and I receive a lot of their updates. Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, he also goes by the name Abu Mazen, met with the leader of the 1 billion strong Roman Catholic institution. I don't call it a church because I don't believe it is a church. It's a religious institution. There's only one church, and that is the Church of Jesus Christ, made up of born-again Jewish and Gentile believers in the Messiah. But the president of the Palestinian Authority met with Pope Francis in Rome, in which they said that Mahmoud Abbas met with the Holy See and the so-called Holy See recognizes a Palestinian state and the Palestinian Authority will have its own embassy at the Vatican in Rome. When Dr. Todd Baker and I last May was teaching out of Revelation 17 right at Vatican City with the Vatican right behind us, we were teaching on the false church of Revelation 17. Within 10 to 15 minutes, we were surrounded by uniformed Vatican police. Because when you're on the soil of the Vatican, you're not in Rome, even though technically you are in Rome. But you are in another country. The Vatican has its own military, its own police. It's its own government. And they were asking us what we were doing, why we had a video camera set up, why we had Bibles open. I said, sir, we're teaching from the Word of God in Revelation 17. Well, what are you teaching about? We're teaching about the false church. You're more than welcome to listen in if you'd like. And they said, you can't teach here without a permit. And we said, well, there's no sign around here anywhere that says we need a permit to teach anything. We're not bothering anybody. We're not accosting anybody. We purposely went away from earshot in our own little corner to teach the Word of God. And they said, well, you can't do that here. So now they're changing their tune again. So Dr. Todd Baker, who was once studying for the Catholic priesthood and even went to seminary, said, you know something, for centuries, the Vatican has went out of its way to take the Bible out of the hands of the common people. And you know something? You guys have been doing this for the past 15 years. And he picked up his Bible and says, we believe this Bible to be the inspired, inerrant, authoritative word of the living God. And those uniformed Vatican police officers looked at us and said, we don't believe that. And then I looked at him and I said, sir, you don't believe the Bible to be the inspired, inerrant, authoritative word of the living God? And they looked at us and they said, no, you can't teach that here. So what we did, one guy, one cop had his hands on his handcuff. Another one had his hands on his gun. And they said, where are you from? We said, from the United States of America. We're Americans. And their tune changed a little bit. But they were still adamant that we can't teach. So we packed everything up outside the fence, got the video camera rolling again, and continued teaching with the Vatican in the background. Now, there were Italian police officers there, but they didn't care. But from a distance, we still saw those uniformed Vatican police officers looking at us like they wanted to take our heads off. Nothing's changed, ladies and gentlemen, in over 1,500 years. The Romans burned Bibles. The Catholics banned Bibles. The Bolsheviks outlawed Bibles. So it's no surprise to me when you have an Arab president of the Palestinian Authority bypassing and violating the Oslo Accords of 1993, meeting with the leader of the Roman Catholic institution, recognizing a Palestinian state. So we see the gathering of an Arab leader promoting terrorism and refusal to recognize Israel's right to exist, and a religious leader who refuses to acknowledge Israel's biblical God divine right to the land. And yet he calls himself the Holy See, when in fact he is the unholy See. The unholy See sprouting or planting unholy seeds that will one day sprout into global persecution of tribulation saints who come to faith in Jesus during the tribulation period and would seek to kill these individuals with the blessings of the Antichrist. And folks, we see in Revelation 17 in verse number 9, we see where John talks about the false church getting a piggyback ride on this beast. We see in Revelation 17, 9, here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. You don't need a PhD to figure that one out. In the first century context, John was talking about Rome. John had Rome on his mind. That is where this false church geographically sits today. But yet in Revelation 17:3, John said, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. She is called a woman 6 times and a whore 3 times. She is a woman who is a false church, and she is a whore. She is a prostitute, a religious whore. And when the beast has all that he wants, and he will have no further need of the harlot church, he will destroy this false church. When the Antichrist is finished with her as his whore, he breaks his alliance with the false church. And yet, in Revelation 17, 17, God uses the beast to carry out his will to destroy the false church as payback for killing God's people over the centuries. Get a copy of Fox's Book of Martyrs. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. In Revelation 17, 6, John said, I marveled at this woman. I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. In Revelation 18:24, it says, and in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and all that was laid upon her. Other words, she's killed God's people throughout the centuries. Get a copy of Fox's Book of Martyrs. You'll see exactly who I'm talking about. The Roman Catholic institution, this unholy see, has murdered God's people over the centuries. The Spanish Inquisitions that took place between the 16th and the 17th centuries, thousands and thousands and thousands of Christians were butchered by the Roman Catholic institution. Nothing has changed, folks, and it's not going to change in the end times. But one day this unholy see, her leader and all of her followers, will one day be destroyed. The unholy seed and her unholy seed will be destroyed. The United States, the Vatican, the Palestinian Authority, the majority of the nations today, folks, refuse to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital. And, of course, you know, the Arab world wants to see Israel destroyed. All you got to do is read Psalm 83. That's a confederacy of Arab nations that will one day attack Israel. Sometime after the rapture, it could be before the tribulation period begins, or maybe early on during the first 3.5 years. In any case, the Arab world will make a move to destroy Israel. But the goal of the Arab world is described in Psalm 83 and verse number 4. Come and let us cut them off from being a nation. That the name of Israel be no more in remembrance. That's Psalm 83 and verse number 4. I believe it was 2009 when then Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, I call him Mahmoud, I'm a whack job because that's exactly what he is, speaking to terrorists at Tehran Square in Iran. And this is what he said. We must rise up as Muslims and destroy Israel, that her name may be forgotten forever. That's almost verbatim of Psalm 83 and verse number 4. Let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. I don't think, folks, that's Bible prophecy unfolding right before our very eyes. We know God in the future will destroy the false church on a seven-hilled city. That's today in Rome. And God will destroy the governments of the nations of the world today who come up against Israel. Zechariah 12, verses 2 and 3, Zechariah 14, 9, Zechariah 14, 12, all the nations that come up against Jerusalem. Jesus, when he will return at his second coming, will destroy these nations. Revelation 14, verses 15 and 20 says that one day he'll take us, cut off the cluster of grapes, which is symbolic of the nations of the world today, cast them in that wine vat. When you go to Israel today, you see all these ancient 2,000-year-old wine vats. They're unbelievable. Still well-preserved. Throw those grapes into a wine vat. He will crush those grapes. He will stomp them until the blood flows as high as a horse's bridle. That's about 4 to 5 feet high for the space of 1,600 furlongs, Revelation 14, 20. What is 1,600 furlongs? That is exactly 176 miles. From the entrance of the Jezreel Valley in northern Israel, where Armageddon is, to the entrance Petra in the south and southern Jordan. From the Jezreel Valley to the north of Israel to Petra in southern Jordan is exactly 176 miles, 1,600 furlongs. Jesus will set up his kingdom that will never be destroyed based on Daniel 2:44. And all the kingdoms of the world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus. That's Revelation 11:15. Revelation 12:5 says he will rule all nations with a rod of iron. What a day that's going to be. So, folks, in conclusion, when Jesus is reigning, based on Ezekiel 5:5, Deuteronomy 32:8, Jerusalem will be the center, it's not only in the center of the earth, but will be the capital of planet Earth. Based on Jeremiah 3:15 through 17, Jerusalem will not only be Earth's capital, but Israel will be the head of the nations and not the tail of the nations as she is right now. Jerusalem will be the capital and Israel the head of the nations of the world during the millennial kingdom and during the eternal state. So what this meeting, Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas with Pope Francis of the Roman Catholic Institution, I believe, folks, is setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. And you know, with all this unfolding right before our very eyes, we know the next prophetic event on God's calendar, folks, will be the rapture of the church of the living God. The Lord Jesus Christ will shout, the ark.